1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're Shannon and Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's casual, guys.
Totes cash.
Here we are. And here you are. Thanks for being here. We preach.
Let's just chill.
Yeah, I mean, we're just here for a Monday morning chill sesh. If it's not Monday morning, cool, whatever. Thanks for listening.
No big deal.
Yeah.
No big.
We're just happy to be in your ears.
Just all up in there.
Mm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
If you are happy that we're all up in your ears, you can rate and review us on iTunes. It helps us, it increases our visibility a lot, and if you review us, we will give you a shout out. You can follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. And you know what? Just share us with a friend.
Yeah.
Preferably a friend that might like us. but really any friend.
Oh, you know what? I think Steve would hate this podcast. Hey, Steve, listen to this podcast you would hate.
If you have a vendetta against Steve and...
And you know he would hate this concept. Play it for him.
Yeah, go ahead. Changing hearts and minds.
Exactly.
That's our goal. Our real goal is to write a song salad.
Which is?
A random topic from Wikipedia combined with a random genre of music from moodfuse.com. And together, we write a song.
Such as Salt Water and Sand.
Don't make diamonds,
which is one of my favorite songs from last week's episode. It was one of my favorite songs overall. Definitely my favorite song from last week's episode because it was the only song in last week's episode. So I'm interested to see what we get this week since emo was so much fun and such a kind of a throwback to our youth.
It really was. I always think every week I'm like, how are we going to top the week before? Because we've had some pretty banner episodes.
You know how we topped the week before? Leaving it to chance.
Yeah.
So let's go to moodfuse.com.
All right, let's get our genre.
Spin the salad spinner. What should the salad spinner sound like this week?
How about the salad spinner sounds like that girl at the Trump rally who tried to sing the Star Spangled Banner and sang it in 18 different keys.
If you haven't seen this video, it's been going around
Facebook. We'll tweet it out.
A brilliant, brilliant man. Figures out how to accompany a girl who sang the Star Spangled Banner a cappella at a Trump rally in 15,000 different keys.
Yeah.
And he somehow manages to follow her through it all. It's so funny.
It's really awesome.
So we'll be that girl.
Okay.
Oh, say
can you see? Ooh!
Deep funk. Yes. Deep funk. So deep funk is a genre of funk music which, unlike traditional mainstream funk, has a more soulful, rawer, grittier, and heavier
grittier.
Sound. Grittier. So it got its name after Keb Darge's legendary deep funk DJ night held at Madame Jojo's nightclub in London's Soho district.
Keb Darge sounds like a Star Wars character.
We'll have to look up Keb Darge. Probably a DJ.
Yeah.
The focus of the scene is collecting and DJing rare funk 45s of the deep funk genre, most usually released originally by local funk groups and artists in the USA throughout the 1960s and 70s that usually stayed in their local home bases, only playing nearby clubs and other venues, and releasing their music on a small local and regional record label at the time in the form of 7-inch 45 RPM singles in quite small quantities, hence their extreme rarity and high collectible value.
Oh,
so deep funk is also about finding these rare funk records
and
mixing them and collecting them, playing them together at DJ nights, things like that.
Huh.
That's pretty cool. Oh, here we go. Main deep funk DJs still working are Ian Wright, Fryer, Jason Sterland, Funky Plumber, and Jazzman Gerald.
Oh boy. Wait, so deep funk isn't actually the genre of the records, it's the curation of them.
But it also says deep funk is a genre of funk music which has more soulful, raw, grittier, and heavier sound.
I guess that's true. So, okay.
I think we just need to look up some examples and see what makes it different from funk.
Yeah. Cool. Are we going to use a funky bass?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we do every episode anyway, but...
Yeah. All right. We know a lot more now. You're welcome.
Well, you do.
I know a lot more, and I'm going to tell Shannon about it. So, basically, what happened was, in the 70s and 80s, there were a lot of funk and soul bands in the U.S. that were not on major labels, but were still interested in putting out content. And the way they put this content out was on small local record labels on smaller records, the 45s, which were 7 inches round, and just an individual song, a single, would be on each of these records. So
they were like self-publishing.
Basically, yeah. Or at least small publishing.
Cool.
And also, because of this, only a certain number of copies of each single was put out there. So they became pretty rare and collectible if you could find copies of certain desirable songs, like, in their original 45 form.
Cool.
So there became sort of a collectability scene, but there wasn't really any kind of network to bring the collectors together until 1994, when DJ Keb Darge and Snowboy, another DJ, started a nightclub in London that played exclusively deep funk 45 records. And it wasn't mixing or remixing like a DJ would sometimes do. It was just collecting and playing those songs and those records. And that sort of brought all of the collectors out of the woodwork together into one scene. And since 1994, there is now a huge market for these rare 45s. I found an article written by Jazzman Gerald, one of the prominent deep funk DJs, about his top 20 songs. Number one is What Goes Around Comes Around by Arthur Monday. And it's the most expensive deep funk 45 on earth, recently getting $4,293 at an auction.
Oh my god.
So we're gonna use that as our example. So here is What Goes Around Comes Around, the $5,000 song.
Cool.
By Arthur Monday. Should definitely check out this article, 20 Best Funk 7 Inches Ever Made by Gerald the Jazz Man. And you should also go to djfryer.com. He's another one of the DJs listed, and he has a whole blog. Was it Blogspot? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I mean, blog.
Oh.
Just call the blog.
He has a whole blog. With example songs and, like, his top deep funk records, a lot of links and a lot of information. So if you're interested in this, check those pages out. It's very cool.
Do you think we can listen to some that have lyrics in
Yeah,
them?
Let's do it. So let's get one from DJ Fryer's site here. Let's check out Myron and E, If I Gave You My Love. That example was from 2013, but it seems like the collectible deep funk scene focuses on original 45s from the 70s and 80s, and that's what's collectible, and that's what's played at these, you know, DJ Keb Darge's nights.
Keb Darge's nights.
Keb Darge's nights. It's like the Arabian Nights, but not at all. What do you have to tell me about lyrics?
So I think the place I wanted to start with this was the etymology of funk.
Okay.
So it originated and still means like a strong, bad odor. Okay. Funk. Funky, in at least traced back to 1784 for meaning musty. Mm. And then like also earthy kind of was added to the connotation around 1900. And in early jazz slang, it was meant something deeply or strongly felt. It's like funky.
That makes sense.
So in early jam sessions, and here's another like Wikipedia is a white person. So in early jam sessions, musicians would encourage one another to, quote unquote, get down by telling one another, now put some stank on it. And stank is italicized.
Right.
And so at least as early as 1907, jazz songs were using the word funky in titles and stuff. I like this example. The first example is an unrecorded number by Buddy Bolden, which is remembered either as Buddy Bolden's Blues or Funky Butt. Funky Butt.
Nice.
A lot of them had improvised lyrics at first, which is kind of interesting, that were either comical and light or crude and downright obscene.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is very interesting.
That was in early jazz funk?
Yes, early jazz funk. But it was then employed to tell other musicians, or was used to help explain to other musicians that they should make their music more syncopated and danceable.
Gotcha.
To make something more
funky. Make people feel it more. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then in the 80s, the lyrics of funk began to evolve from being just suggestive double entendres to more graphic and sexually explicit.
Oh, okay. Great.
Super great. Super great.
And according to the description of deep funk, it's gritty and raw and a little bit more soulful than mm-hmm. just funk. So we'll have graphic, sexually explicit, gritty, raw lyrics.
Yeah, there was something else about it being implying a... the hard-driving, insistent rhythm implies a carnal quality.
Ah, okay. Yes. Yeah.
super good.
Nice.
Yeah, and then again, funk jam is like a fusion genre,
uh-huh.
and that also brought back improvised lyrics.
Okay.
So I don't really think we should be improvising lyrics.
No.
But it's interesting.
But it might be interesting to write in a way that feels almost mm-hmm. improvised.
Yep.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Key and Peele sketch where they're the funk band, sort of like Parliament, and they're just saying like psychedelic sounding words, like.
Yeah.
Roller coaster snake jam, put it on an English muffin. Like, just, it's, I love that sketch. Look it up if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, so we're going to put some stank on it.
Let's go to Wikipedia and see what topic we should try to put some stank on.
Yeah,
shall
all right.
we?
Hopefully it's a stankable topic.
Let's spin the salad spinner. And the rocket's red glare. The bombs bursting in air. Louise Elizabeth of France. Was the eldest daughter of King Louis the 15th of France and his queen consort Maria. I'm not gonna try saying
something
that last
Polish.
Name, and the elder twin sister of Anne Henriette of France. As the daughter of the king, she was a daughter of France and married Infante Philip, younger son of Philip V of Spain, and later became Duchess of Parma. The funkiest possible subject we could have gotten.
Louise Elizabeth.
De France.
De France.
All right.
Okie doke.
We got some reading to do.
Yeah. We'll make that work somehow. Cool. Louise Elizabeth had a sad short life.
Oh, no.
She was only 32 when she died. She was married at 12. She had her first baby at 14.
Ugh.
And then 10 years later, had two more kids in the same year.
Wow.
Yeah, not twins. One in January, one in December. Just what an exhausting year.
A little bit.
I mean, not that she actually had to take care of her children. She probably them off to wet nurses and stuff.
Yeah.
But if she hadn't, she probably wouldn't have gotten pregnant again so quickly.
True.
Bummer. Yeah, her first daughter died fairly young, but her second two children lived for at least a little while. She died of 32 of smallpox.
Sad.
Yep. And she was buried with her twin sister at the Saint-Denis Basilica, which I believe is in Paris. And during the French Revolution, their tombs were desecrated.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So these people were, like, not... I mean, it was just, like, all political machinations, and she traveled around, like, marrying her daughters to other people, and...
So she was the daughter of a king of France.
Yes.
And was married off to the son of the king of Spain and became a duchess, is that
Yes, right? She eventually... After a war ended, War of the Austrian Succession, the Holy Roman Empress Maria Theresa had to cede the duchies of Parma, Piacenza, and Guastalla to Philip V of Spain. And King Louis XV insisted that Philip and Elizabeth become the Duke and Duchess of Parma. So that's how she got her title.
Makes sense.
Learning some interesting things. So just like What's Her Bucket, the Couch Woman.
Sophia.
In our episode, Fake Gustav's Lament, we talked about how Sophia Magdalena and Gustav, what's his bucket, were... married by proxy or had no it was had
it,
a
for that one it was had a proxy groom.
A proxy groom, and we could not find any information about proxy grooms, but then this also mentioned that Louise Elizabeth was married by proxy, and so just googling proxy marriage, I got a lot more information. All that means is it's a wedding in which one or both of the participants are not actually present. So that would mean that you're basically married in absentia, but it's still, like, legally binding.
Makes sense.
So she was married to her husband...
at the ripe old age of 12.
12, without ever... and he was 19, without actually ever having seen him. So even when she was married, there was someone standing in representing him when she got married
to him.
So
sad.
Yeah, it's just so crazy. Also, probably... like, super the wrong topic for, like, a sexy carnival song.
I was just going to say, how are we going to funk this up?
Yeah. Well, here's some kind of funky things. So, these people, I mean, I feel like the royalty of Europe at this time, they're some pretty, pretty lascivious people.
Yep.
So, not only did King Louis... have a queen consort, which is the name of a queen that is not a queen regnant. So that means that she doesn't actually have the history and the powers of a monarchy, but she shares in the king's social rank and status.
Ah.
So like if
so
the
it's
king...
a mistress that is appointed...
No, title? No, no. That's another one. So that is the maîtresse en titre. So the maîtresse en titre was literally the official title of the chief mistress of the King of France.
Wow.
Yeah. At the time that Louise Elizabeth was living, it was Madame de Pompadour.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So this is a semi-official position. Which came with its own apartments. And it started in the reign of Henry IV and continued until the reign of Louis XV. So this was the last time there was a maîtresse en titre. Isn't that cuckoo? Like, she was, yes. Publicly acknowledged.
As the official...
as official side bitch of the king.
Right.
Like...
wow.
Bonkers.
That's really interesting.
It's very interesting.
And funky.
It is, this is funky.
we can bend our rules a little bit.
Okay, so here's the thing. So Louise Elizabeth came visiting to Versailles, and that's when she met Madame de Pompadour.
Uh-huh.
And so they, like, knew each other and would have been friendly.
Or at least cordial.
Yeah, so maybe...
Could we do a funk song about their meeting?
Yeah, like maybe Madame de Pompadour is like giving Louise Elizabeth like some advice or like is talking to her about, I don't know.
What she does with her dad.
Ooh.
Regrets.
All
right.
Yeah, maybe. She would have only been 21 when she met Madame de Pompadour.
Right, but she was having kids at the age of 14. So.
So here's another like thing that's kind of funny. So during that same visit, a courtier described Elizabeth as charming and having piercing eyes that expressed intelligence. But another person said she looked like a well-endowed young woman matured by motherhood.
Oh.
Which I think is just a way of saying she didn't lose that baby weight.
She didn't lose that baby weight, and she looked a little tired and ragged.
Yeah. So that's kind of sad.
Yep.
So let me see what I can come up with so that
we're
not,
yeah, balls
like,
in your court.
Great.
I'm going to get a funky bass line.
Yeah.
And then some other elements of my band, and meet you back here.
Cool.
So I've got my band building here. I've got a funky bass line, which sounds like this. Got a funky drum beat, which sounds like this. And I got some horns.
Are they funky, though?
That are very funky.
Okay.
Sort of like how that article was describing, or the press release was describing, like a raunchy saxophone solo. Like, uh-huh. I got brass in mine here that have a little bit of a raunchy feel. It sounded like this.
Okay, so two things.
Yes.
So I was just like browsing around, trying to figure out how I was going to spin this. And, so proxy marriage is still a thing.
What?
Yeah.
Request free proxy marriage checklist? What? What is this?
Yeah, okay. So there are a lot of sites that you can apply and they will marry you by proxy. So...
Love is not always enough,
is on this,
says
website.
This website.
Yeah, so here are some reasons why you might... need that is if you're in the military,
sure,
and you want to get married so that your spouse can come be stationed with you.
Uh-huh.
If you are engaged to someone in a foreign country but they can't get a visa to come over,
mm-hmm.
you might want to get, but also people can just do it if they've just been like dating on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and they want to get married and they can't do it otherwise.
Huh.
So here's the thing. Marriage by proxy is only able to be processed in the state of Montana.
Really?
Currently.
That's it.
It's the only state that allows two people to get legally married without each person being present at the marriage bureau.
Okay.
Because Montana.
Right.
If not, that's only if they're in the military.
Okay.
If neither person is in the military, they can process the double proxy marriage in El Salvador.
Okay.
So, yeah. So then the marriage certificate is issued both by Montana and El Salvador. Oh, so if you get it issued in Montana or if you get it issued in El Salvador, it's recognized by every state, all branches of the military, and most countries in the world.
Weird.
Then you can submit that marriage certificate to the U.S. Department of Immigration to apply for the spousal visa. And then you have to prove that your marriage was consummated. So basically you need to prove
what?
That you actually met the person after the marriage certificate was issued.
Wow.
Yeah. This is like, and this is just one example of a site. Wait,
I'm
let's
sure
look
there
at the
are
forms
many
and
others.
Fees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot. This is marriage by proxy. There's also proxy-marriage.com. It's only $650 after the military discount, which is kind of amazing. That's not expensive at all.
Required documentation, not much.
Yeah, not much. So I think this is like an interesting kind of angle to take on things. The other thing that I found is I was listening to examples of the songs on DJ Fryer's blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a description of this this 7-inch vinyl called Guest Villains.
Mm-hmm.
And the two songs are Tornado and Forbidden Feelings.
Okay.
And just the way they describe this stuff is like, it's very much like what we were talking about, like all this like carnal sex, whatever. So they, first of all, they call this an essential piece of vinyl filth.
Nice.
Then they say that Tornado is a frantic surf instrumental complete with dirty, lustful saxophone, twangy surf guitars, and overly echoed percussion breaks. This ferocious shaker is stereotypical titty shaker. It sounds like it could have been lifted straight out of a raunchy Russ Meyer flick, and you can almost hear the swooshing pasties as they spin to this one. Then, Forbidden Feelings contains a filthy saxophone melody that just oozes with the promise of sin. This one will get the windows steamed up for sure. The orgastic? Pretty sure they meant orgasmic?
Yep.
Or orgiastic? Anyway. The orgastic ending of the song makes you want to have more, more, more. That's nice. Their press release.
That's great.
Like, people want to have sex with these records.
All right. Well.
It's very weird. So I think I'm going to try to write, like, a titty shaker about proxy marriage.
About proxy marriage.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess the titty shaking part is up to you.
Oh, and I've got a couple elements in place that are going to make you shake your titties.
This is so gross. Okay, so I'm going to get to work on, and I'm going to try to work in references to Louise Elizabeth, and who was called, her nickname was Babette.
Nice.
Which I think is an appropriate, like, sexy nickname.
I just thought of something.
Yes.
What's the French word for the official mistress again?
Maîtresse en titre.
We could make it a titre shaker.
Shake your titres?
Shake your titres.
Okay. Is that the title?
I like that.
Before I even write it?
Maybe the title will inspire your...
All right, great.
Shake your titres.
Okay, I love it. Oh, okay.
Do you have lyrics?
I do have some lyrics.
Lay them on me.
Shake your teeth. Here are my lyrics. Babs was just a baby. Ooh, yeah. Sent to Spain by her daddy. Ooh, yeah. And then the pre-chorus. But first she had to get married. First she had to be a bride. First she had to get married. But her groom was nowhere in sight. And the chorus is, proxy love. Let's make that proxy love. Don't need your body to get real body. B-A-W-T-Y. Yeah. Proxy love, making sweet proxy love. I can't get there, but I'll come here. Proxy love.
All right. You know, I feel like in the age, the digital age, a lot of people can relate to this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very weird.
It's very weird.
It's very weird.
But good song.
Proxy love.
Proxy love.
Yeah.
Shake your teeth.
Has nothing to do with shake your teeth, but oh well.
I mean, it's a good title either way.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Let's record it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Babs was just a baby, ooh yeah, yeah. Sent to Spain by her daddy, ooh yeah, yeah. But first she had to get married. First she had to be a bride. First she had to get married. But a groom was nowhere in sight. Proxy love, let's make that proxy love. Don't need your body to get real body. Proxy love, making sweet proxy love. Can't get there, but I'll come here.
Proxy love, proxy, proxy love, proxy.
Proxy love.
When I finished with that, you just said, okay.
I was like, works for me.
Yeah. That's about right. That's about what I thought.
That's as deep funk as you get.
Anyway. So, would you shake your titties to that song?
If I had them.
Cool. Shake them if you had them.
Shake them if you got them.
Hypothetically, you would shake to that song.
But I definitely have titras, and I am shaking them right now.
All your titras. Where's your egg?
Oh, it's down there somewhere.
Damn it, I was going to shake your egg.
Shake an egg. There it is. Famous egg as used in our intro song.
That's the sound of Scott's teachers flying around. He keeps them in a little plastic egg. I don't know why.
Yeah, you know, it's a good storage method. This is quality radio.
I know.
This is a cool genre.
Yeah, it was so weird that it had as much of a like culture around it,
right?
And a collector's item thingy about it. Then
the genre of music was, you know, it was named and it was collected based on what these DJs were doing. So it's not like the music was written in the genre of deep funk. It was sort of posthumously called deep funk.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. You can rate and review in iTunes and subscribe. Like we said, if you rate us and review us, we'll shout you out on the podcast.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
Shannon and Scott. Ooh, yeah.
One.
Shannon
and Scott.
Three, four.
Thank you.